Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to your weekly astrological weather. This is your place to come and get practical guidance for navigating the cosmic tides. And like I like to say, not only navigating, but thriving with the cosmic tides. And I know there's a lot of those tides going on right now. I am Amanda Poole Walsh, the founder of Astrology Hub, and I'm here with your favorite weather woman, predictive astrologer, Anne Ortley. And Anne, do I even need to ask for the intensity scale today? Where are we at?
Very high. Gonna be high for another 2 weeks. And last week, of course, I said 2 to 20, and, you know, we had range on that. And certainly people, you know, in Capitol Hill in the United States had a 20, and the rest of us watching had our various levels. But this next couple weeks, very intense. Mars is coming in to do a square to, you know, he transitioned actually literally on Wednesday. We had talked about him going into Aries way back at the beginning of July. And then he went forward, and then on September 9th, he stationed to go retrograde at 28. And then he went backwards till November 11th. And then he stationed at 15, which is where he entered July 25th. And then he went forward again. And then last week after the second, he went out of what was called his shadow. So he was like all charged up with 6 months of energy. And normally Mars only has 2 months in its sign. And normally he's a pretty assertive kind of guy. So as he was getting ready to change, Wednesday is when he changed, and he literally changed at 5:29, and he went into Taurus. And so the intensity on Wednesday was super high, as witnessed by the you know, changes in the Georgia election and then the incident at the Capitol. And I, you know, the guy I noticed was the guy with the horns in the fur. And I kept going, there it is. There's Mars. And Mars, I don't know if he was Mars in Aries or Mars in Taurus, but he was definitely Mars.
Right. Yeah.
And then, of course, anger and aggression and assertion, that's all Mars, right? Martial. Mars is martial.
Right.
And whatever sign he's in. But in Aries, heated up with 6 months. And then at 5:30, that's when the police came. That's when the National Guard showed up. That's when, you know, so they had 4 hours where he was pretty much, I guess it started around 1:40, you know, the attack on the Capitol. And so I'm like, oh my God, it's astrology and living action. You know, and I get very excited about this stuff because I'm like, it's astrology. It works. It works. It works. And then you go, oh, I should pay attention to, oh, what? Oh, wow, this is big. You know, like, you know, there's an energy. So the other part of it, you know, and this is, you know, we're here talking, what we try and do is say, hey, this is what the energy is. And how do you use it productively, right? So that's the other part of it, is we know the energy of the next couple of weeks is going to be very intense because Mars is finishing. He's out of Aries, but he still has to square while he's in Taurus Saturn and Jupiter, which he squared Saturn last week, but he squares Jupiter this week. And then he comes and he joins Uranus, which is the planet of chaos and change. And so that actually happens on Inauguration Day, January 21st. But we know with Mars, the buildup is when it happens. Saturn is exact on the day. Uranus is exact on the day. Mars has a ramping up. And by the time it gets to the day, it's done. So, and in this case, gets to the day joining Uranus. So we've got a week, 2 weeks, whatever, till the 12th, to the 20th, where Mars is going to build. And so, and he's in Taurus. Now, Taurus is the sign of the bull. And, you know, think about the bull running in Pamplona. You know, bulls are nice. They hang out in the field until they're mad. And they're stubborn. I mean, anybody knows anybody with Mars and Taurus in their life, those people are pretty stubborn. They do like to plow things, so they're great in bed, but they also are, when they get mad, man, you just kind of go, oh, they're mad. And you kind of leave the field or you leave the barn or you go off to, you know, do you go, you leave them alone basically because they're going to charge. Mm-hmm. So the energy of the energy of the moment now, as Mars comes to square Jupiter, he's going to get loaded up again. And then he comes to join Uranus. So really the ramp up is the, what we're going to watch this next week. So we're all going to have, wherever it is in our lives, we're all going to have, 20 week different reasons, different purposes. Uranus went into Taurus in March of 19. So stories from then can come back. Stories from the fall can come back. The other thing that's happening is Uranus stations to go direct this week. So we know when a planet stops and goes direct, the 5 days before, the 5 days after count. And he goes direct on the 14th. So the 9th through the 19th, Uranus is stopped as Mars comes charging into him, right? So there's very intense energy. If you ever watch, I mean, I didn't watch them because they kill bulls, but you know, the Matador, he kind of waves the, hi Remo, I know, yeah, we're talking. Remo knows when I get excited. He's like, Mom, are you okay? He's petting my arm. You know, the Matador waving the cape, right? And you know, the problem is if you have a smart bull, the bull knows it's not the red cape, it's the guy waving it. And you know, and the Matadors go, oh, this one's a smart one. I gotta be a little careful. So you kind of think bullfight, kind of think consciousness, think distraction to move the energy consciously in your life. You know, we were talking a minute ago with Jamie, who's our backseat driver here, who runs our screens. And she said, oh, customer service. I really notice when the energies are intense because the customers are intense. So we're going to encounter this very intense energy. And we want to just know that, yes, everybody's very intense. We also had Eris station to go direct on the 10th on Sunday. So she's 5 days on either side too. And she's the goddess of discord, the goddess of war, the goddess of aggression. And so she stopped, Uranus has stopped, Mars has shifted into a new sign with all that pent up energy from Aries in Taurus now, the sign of the bull. So it'll be really interesting to see how it rolls, but everybody just needs to know a lot of intensity this week and, you know, and being kind. The other thing we're having is a new moon, which is at 12:01 East Coast time on Wednesday night, 12:01 a.m. So for the West, for the rest of the country, you know, Chicago's 11:01, Colorado Central Time is 10:01, Pacific Time is 9:01. I don't know what it is in your land, but there's a new moon, but the new moon is with an out of bounds moon. Right. So the moon out of bounds in Capricorn makes an energy big. And what an out of bounds means is the sun goes to the Tropic of Cancer or the Tropic of Capricorn, which is 23 degrees, 27 minutes above the equator. And all the planets are supposed to follow the sun and behave themselves. Sun's the boss. But when a planet goes out of bounds, it goes, I'm not following the rules. Can't make me. I mean, maybe I will, but I get to decide. So when it goes out of bounds in a sign in its detriment, joined to Pluto, it kind of goes, no. Nah. And so you got, you know, and it's emotional because it's a moon, it's a new moon, but it also is going to be working on deeper levels because the moon is meeting at 23 Capricorn, which is where the COVID clump, COVID cluster, COVID Council of Capricorn, where that was all last year in Saturn and Pluto. So it's kind of like, you know, the analogy we used a little while ago was the party broke up, right? Saturn and Jupiter have gone off into Aquarius and the new moon happens right next to Pluto. And of course, this is the first new moon since that conjunction started. So it's technically the inauguration of it, of the energy of that moon, because we're initiating cycle, but it's also saying emotionally go back and think about all the stuff you worked on this year. What do you think? And so if we use the analogy of the party, Pluto got up in the morning, he went out into the kitchen and then came into the living room. He's having, you know, his breakfast, you know, at the dining room table. And he looks over and he sees like a dirty glass of beer on the shelf and somebody put a cigarette butt out in the cup. And he kind of goes, yeah, what were they doing? You know, like, how did they miss that? You know, it's that remnant energy of all the changes we've done. And that's the energy of this week under the new moon. So it's emotionally asking us to work very deeply. But because the moon is out of bounds, if you've got people in your life who are depressed, are sad, are really feeling blue, you want to check on them because it's Capricorn moon leads to depression. It also is a very important time to double down on your own self-care because it's a very emotional moon, good or bad. You know, I'm not going to judge your emotions. I'm just going to say emotions. Plus, everybody else has the emotions. Plus, it's a bull in a china shop. You know, you think of the dishes crashing. Think of the papilloma running, you know, those guys running in front of the bulls. And, you know, do the matador thing, shake the cape, and then check to see if it's a smart bull that right before he gets to the cape, he turns left and he gores you because it's Mars Uranus. The other analogy I came up with, Uranus is, Taurus is the neck, and it's whiplash. So we're going to kind of think whiplash. And if you remember driving, if you ever were in a car and you looked in your rearview mirror and you saw someone coming at you and you go, oh my God, and you got tense, it caused more problems than mm-hmm. if you relaxed into it. Mm-hmm. You know, and like we always hear of drunk driver accidents, the people got killed, the drunk's fine because he's relaxed. So you want to, or, you know, is it, if you were tumbling as a kid or you learned to ski or anything where they taught you how to fall. You know, I had a friend who went to clown school and she learned how to fall, you know, because pratfalls are funny, but you have to do it right or you hurt something. So you want to kind of be relaxed into the changes to the extent you can. That's the way to work with this energy. Also, if you can't, you know, run away from the bull charging at you because, it, you know, it's got that. And when you tense up, things break. So it's a very intense week and it runs for 2 weeks. So, you know, knowing it's there and then you go, okay, how am I going to use it? Mars and Taurus, let me clean my house. Let me look where your Mars is by sign and placement. Look at what houses are ruled by Aries and Scorpio because Mars rules those houses and go do productive versions of your Mars. If you've got a Mars and Taurus, have a lot of sex. If you have... you know, you want to do solid, reliable, dependable work. Now, remember, Mars in the old days, oxens were castrated and put together as teams, and they pulled the plows before we had, you know, tractors. They plowed the fields. And so it's a very hardworking sign. So us thinking about consciously using this energy, we can work very hard to plow our own fields, create what we're supposed to create, because it's Taurus time. It's time to plow the field and plant stuff. And we have a new moon tied to all the changes we went through psychologically, physically, emotionally, and spiritually over the last year. As the Saturn, Pluto, and Jupiter all met at the same point over and over again, this new moon is 23 Capricorn. Moon's out of bounds, Sun's in Capricorn. Pluto's right there at 24. The other thing to remember is every single planet in the sky is reporting into Saturn.
Still, huh?
Going to be for a while, yeah. I was thinking about how long it would be because Saturn's in Capricorn, right? Or in Aquarius now. And well, the Sun's in Capricorn and Aquarius and any planets are in that, they're all going to report into him. Or if they're reporting to a planet, like in the case of Mars, he's in Taurus, but he's reporting into Venus, who's in Capricorn, and she reports into Saturn, and Saturn reports to himself. Neptune in Pisces reports into Jupiter. Jupiter's in Aquarius. He reports to Saturn. Saturn reports to himself. So every planet, what this has caused is dispositor. This is how all the things under the earth can be described by astrology. Who's the ruler? Who's the ultimate decision maker? In this case, Saturn. And he's in Aquarius. So he's now saying to you, two things. Early degree, I'm giving you a whole new story. Secondly, consequences of actions, because that's always what Saturn's deal is. And three, what about the community? What about the children? Because Aquarius rules other people's children. What about the tribe, the collective, which we talked about a little while ago, the society, the group, the group that you associate with, your clump of people. Mm. And so we watch Saturn and Aquarius say to all of the planets, what are your hopes and dreams? Because he also is in Aquarius, the house of hopes and dreams. And what is your contribution to the world, to the greater good? Because Saturn and Capricorn is your personal achievements. Aquarius is what you did for others. and they're right next to each other. You achieve this, and with this knowledge skill, you do this for others. So you're a Capricorn rising and you're Capricorn strong. You do work.
I'm Aquarius rising.
Yeah, but you're working, you're answering to Saturn.
Right.
And your Capricorn planets answer to it, right? And your answers to your Saturn in Leo, which says Amanda brings love to the group because she's Aquarius rising, works for the group, brings love. So astrology hug. How do we love our astrology and work with it positively? So we work with that energy on a global level, right? A community level. So very important, and everybody gets to pick how they use it, but there's consequences because every planet talks to Saturn. So be conscious of whatever those consequences are because they're gonna be there, and that's the part to remember. Saturn's, you know, he always keeps track, and sometimes sometimes you know he's keeping track and other times you don't know, but trust me on this, with the whole sky reporting to him on a new moon, on the energy we've all been going through for the last year, yeah, he's paying attention. So it's, you know, it's free will. We have free will. And yeah, bigger vision.
Okay.
I was a little long-winded there, Amanda. But
it was so good, though. I was hanging on every word, and I'm sure that everybody in the community is as well. Okay, of course, I have questions.
That's good.
So you were talking about this buildup of energy. Is this because of Mars, is the buildup of energy climaxing with that Uranus moment?
It should actually happen before the Uranus moment.
Okay. Because so when is that date? Like, what is the climax of that buildup?
20th of January.
Yeah, of course. So no, so is inauguration date, because on the Cosmic Connection, I said the 22nd, which is not right. And then you just said the 21st. And then everybody in the audience was saying the 20th.
The 20th. The climax is on the 20th.
Yeah. The 20th. Okay. All right. So the 20th is the climax. And when you were talking about the matador, I was wondering if the matador is like Uranus almost, like the bull charging.
Uranus is the matador. He's shaking the thing, and Mars is the bull. Yeah.
So it's almost like Mars is charging toward change.
Yes.
Like Uranus being like spontaneous, instant change. Mars is like just charging right at that.
Yes, totally.
Okay.
And when you watch that bull come charging at the matador, and he kind of goes, you know, and the bull's charging, and you're like, oh my God. And then he kind of goes whoosh, and the bull goes by, and then he sticks him with shit.
Right.
You know, the bull bleeds. And then the bull's really mad. But if the bull is a smart bull, he goes, it ain't the red cape. It's the little guy waving it. And he turns and he gets the little guy, you know. So they always watch, is this a smart bull?
Right.
Because sometimes the bulls are smart.
Right. Okay. I know Pluto's playing a really prominent role in the new moon and over the next couple weeks, right? So what would you say that Pluto is asking us to do now? And
he always asks us to go deep, do change, look at the rot, look at the decay, look at what needs to be changed. That's one version of him. It also is psychological.
Right.
You know, he got discovered in the 1930s when we developed the power to kill ourselves with nuclear weapons. He also was when they started doing psychology, and they said there's an inner world. There's a superconscious. There's a collective unconscious. There's consciousness. So he became part of that story. You know, if you look at people with strong Pluto, of course, he wasn't discovered until then, but he's operating. So in the United States chart, he's in the second house and we're having a Pluto return, which we've all talked about ad nauseum. We still have two more years for our Pluto returns. So Pluto says, second house, what's of value to you? We always think of it as money, but it's also what's of value to you. What's your talents? What's your skills? What do you pride yourself on? What do you think you're good at? And what Pluto always says to you is, you're not that good at it. When you have a Pluto transit, he always says to you, I know you thought you were good. You're not that good. Let me show you. And he takes you on a journey. And I always say to people when they're having Pluto transit, he comes in, you go, hi, Pluto. He goes, hi. You're walking along. And then you go, oh. And you get a little closer. And you go, oh. And then you get within 2 degrees, which is where we are now. And you go, oh. So while we look at this as an ending, it's really just a new beginning to the transformations we're going to go through. Mm-hmm. But they've been set up by this whole story. Yes. And so the goal is with Pluto, you know, a lot of it is, you know, you go to therapy, you're working on stuff. I mean, I remember, you know, studying my chart at one point and think, Yamini's my mother? And he was. Yeah, you mean I married my older brother? You know, I mean, I did my mother, but, you know, it's like, you know, it lets you go in and see it on a different level, right? Yeah. And if you ever saw the play Hadestown, which I encourage people to go see, it's the story of Hades and Persephone and Orpheus and Eurydice. And of course, Hades says to Eurydice, because she falls in love with Orpheus, who's a musician and a waiter and all that. He goes, let me guess, he's a musician. And the whole audience goes, ooh, you know? And you know, it that's Pluto, right? It understands our weaknesses. It goes for them. It points out where we think we're in charge and control. And it gives us an opportunity to look at it. It's also where we get obsessed. So at one point I was having a Pluto transit square. I don't remember what it was square, but it was squaring something. It was coming from the top of my chart. And I had a boss who hated me, absolutely hated me. And he was an Aries, and my father's an Aries. I get, you know, at that point I didn't have astrology as a tool. I was in this power struggle with this guy. And my father would say to me, you can't do that. And I would go, yes, I can. And I would go do it. And he would be happy because he knew that's how to motivate me because I'm an Aquarius rising. And at one point I was in this power struggle with this guy. He goes, you can't do it. I'd go do it. He'd go, that's not what I wanted. And I'd be like, yes, it was. That's what you told me to do. You know, and I was obsessed. I would talk about him nonstop. And one of my friends said to me, what's the transference with this guy? I'm like, what's transference? Hadn't been in therapy yet, right? And she goes, who is he? Who is he? Who's the guy behind him? Who's he like? I said, like my father, except my father wants me to succeed. This guy hates my guts and doesn't want me, but I'm going to win, right? Pluto, you want to win, right? So I went, oh, he's my father, but he doesn't like me. So he changes. He does the stimulus to me. You can't do it, which makes an Aquarius rising go crazy. And then he would say no. So, you know, I'm on a performance plan to sell a $30,000 machine. I sell a $130,000 machine. He fires me the next day. Hmm. And I was like, oh. But what happened was I left. My old clients from my previous job were like, will you come work for me? I'm like, okay. I started my computer consulting business. I kept interviewing, getting jobs, turning them down. And finally, I'm interviewing for IBM. This was back in the 80s. And I'm dicking around with the interview, not doing what I need to do. You know, I have to go get tests and, you know, health class. And my boyfriend at the time said, so like, you know, maybe you should just say you want to do your own thing. I'm like, really? You think that's a concept? And it gave me permission. So you emerge from Pluto transits, completely changed. Because I now, when someone says I can, I go, yes, I can. Because that's instinctual. And then I go, but do I want to?
Yes.
And I pause and I think. So that was one change. And then it got me to start my own business. Mm-hmm. Because I thought, I can't tell if you're a sociopath, crazy person or not. You know, like I don't have judgment, but I do have judgment. And I learned a lot from that guy who is a complete and total asshole, excuse my language, but it also changed me forever. It also helped me point out to people, like, what are you struggling about here? And, it was an enormous gift on the other side. Was it easy to go through? Not at all. We have 2 more years of the Pluto transit in the United States. And this says, this is the story we should pay attention to, but we are shifting. We're shifting. We're seeing new things. So it's really important when you're having a Pluto transit, you watch where you get into that power struggle. And then you go, wow, I'm really struggling here. What's the obsession? Why am I so obsessed with this? What do I need to do about this? Mm-hmm. What are my, and in our case in the country, it's what are our values? And then in your own case, wherever Pluto is natally, that's where you have the power struggle. You know, that's where you have your personal hell, but that's also where you have your greatest redemption.
Mm. Right. And where are we struggling against power just to struggle? Whereas, is that actually what we want? Like paying attention to what it is deep down that you actually want, and where you may be engaged in a power struggle just because you want to win.
Right. Right. And in my case, that was it. At the time, right. Your boyfriend kept saying, "You, Ann, this guy hates you. Why don't you quit and get a new job?" I'm right. like, "No, I'm going to win." You know, right. And you don't necessarily know where you're crazed.
Yes.
Think about the obsessive boyfriend or the person you obsessed over. That's Pluto.
Well, and you always think it's justified. It's justified to be that. It's justified to be that crazed. Mm. Okay, question for you about Mars and Taurus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My brother is fighting for a cause in California for student athletes, and it's been interesting to watch because people are really angry about a lot of things right now, and so it'll start to go into this really angry kind of hate fueled place. And he's amazing at bringing it back to what they're fighting for. They're fighting for the kids. They're fighting because they love the kids. They're fighting because the kids love to play. You know, all these things. You know, they want to be playing their sports. But so what I was watching him going, oh, that's also Mars and Taurus, right? Like a fight for love, a warrior for love, right?
It's 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me. I don't give a damn. It's Vietnam. You know, yes. What are we fighting for?
Right. Okay. So in Mars and Taurus, because Taurus is ruled by Venus, could that be someone who feels that they're like, fighting's really the wrong word.
No, fighting's the right word. Mars fights. I mean,
okay.
Mars fights. That's what he does. Okay. He fights, he takes action, he has sex, he does stuff. He's how he gets stuff done. So sometimes we have to fight to get it.
Okay. So fighting for love. Okay. Would be Mars and Taurus. But would Mars and Taurus also be fighting for like the earth?
Yeah.
Fighting for the
children, planet. what you love, what you value.
So taking a stand and taking action towards what you love, what you value, what you
important to you.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, remember, so you don't fight for something you don't care about.
Right.
You don't have sex with someone you don't want.
Right. Right.
So you don't do it if you don't want to do. I mean, sometimes you do because you got Mars and Virgo or something. You know, they do it because they have to. But the rest of us go, I don't know that I really wanted to do that. Mars and Virgo goes, but we have a duty to do it. So, yes, but understanding, you know, we have a responsibility here to be conscious of what our Mars wants. But yeah, well, Mars is what we fight for, what we believe in. So I might not, you know, I mean, I might not care about that, but I'm going to respect your right to fight for what you believe in.
Right.
I'm going to also ask you to fight fair, because that's, you know, we say fair is important, but then we also get into not fair. You know, so I had this guy come, and he's a nice man, I liked him a lot, good client, and he and his wife had come before, and then they split up, and they have a little boy who's 8, and he had I could see in the kids chart he was having some trouble, and I said, there's a little issue here with, and the wife had started dating a guy who had ex-wife who had 2 girls who were older than the little boy. And the little boy was being told to share, and he didn't like it. So he tells me the story, and I said, well, you know, your job is his father. He goes, well, nobody makes you share your Ferrari or your Porsche. And I'm like, that is true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why do you have to share? I'm like, okay, got it. Mars and Taurus. Why should I have to share that? So, you know, you want to watch the higher form and the lower form. Remember, Georgia Stasis, invite the witch to the table. So I'm like, you're right. You don't want, nobody asked you to share your Ferrari or Rolex. That's true. But we tell little kids they have to share. It's mm-hmm. understanding why, what's it about, mm-hmm. how does that work? And these are all questions that as a culture we're working with, we're battling.
Yes, we are. Yeah. All right. So what I'm hearing is that the intensity is off the chart. You wouldn't really give me a solid number.
Oh, I'm going to go for 200.
200. 200. 200. Okay.
Hopefully not. But, you know, it's also energy to harness. So you get to harness it in however you want. Yeah.
Energy to harness. That is really important to remember. It's not just energy that we're being pummeled by. And one of the things that we did an extra long grounding before today.
Yeah.
One of the visuals I kept getting was of the ocean. And when there's huge waves in the ocean, a couple things can happen. You can get out, but sometimes you can't. Like sometimes you're in the waves and actually trying to get out is going to hurt you even more. So what do? You go down. You go under, you hold your breath as long as you can underwater. So I was just thinking about how this is such a time where each one of us needs to go down and in. And because if you're at the surface trying to fight the waves up there, you drown. You run out of energy, you end up drowning. And so it's about going deep and in and being as calm, like you said, the relaxing as much as possible. And at this point, when these waves are so big energetically, it's so, because when you're talking about Saturn and everything answering to Saturn, Saturn is not teaching us to react. Saturn is teaching us to be responsible. And those are two very different things, to respond and to react. So where are we just on that surface of the ocean, just fighting the waves and thrashing around? And where are we going in and saying, okay, what's mine to do? What am I responsible for? How can I harness this energy for good, right? And like you were talking about this Aquarius thing, for the collective good, and whether the collective is your family or the place where you work or what your home, your animals, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean the world necessarily, but the things that you're responsible for, how can you harness that energy and have it come from that real place of strength versus the, you know, chaos that it's so easy to get caught up in. It's so easy. And the best outcomes never come from that place though. Even if we are fighting for something, if we can be fighting for it from a place of strength, internal strength, it's much different than just like, you know, throwing our weapons around. It also reminds me of the Pele myth. I think I've said it on this show before. No? Well, so Pele is the goddess of the volcano, the Hawaiian goddess of the volcano. And she was born with this fiery red hair, and she had this fire stick, and she could go around and whenever she was angry or upset, she would use her fire stick and she would start fires everywhere. And she would destroy. I mean, she was just and haphazardly from a very emotional place. She gets cast out by her mother and her sister because they say, oh, she's too dangerous. She needs to leave. So she goes on this big journey. She ends up on the big island of Hawaii. And there her sister catches up with her. They have this huge war. Pele dies and she's dead for 3 days. And when she comes back after the third day, she is able now to channel her power through her heart, and she is able to use it with wisdom. So now she still has that. She died and she transformed Pluto, right? 3 days. That's always very symbolic, but she came back with wisdom.
Also 3 days.
Exactly. She came back with the wisdom to know how to channel that fiery, destructive energy in the places where it needed to go. And she was only able to do that when she could channel it through her heart wisdom. So this, to me, again, with Saturn here, it's like, where do we have opportunities to master our own energy and direct it very consciously with the power of our heart, the wisdom of our heart.
And Mars is in Taurus, Venus.
Right.
He says, what do you love? What do you want to work for that you love, rather than what do you want to fight? So he asks us to work for, he asks us to plow the fields, to work, to be conscious. But he's answering to our Venus. He's saying, what's your heart's path? Because Venus rules our heart. You know, the moon rules our emotions, but Venus rules our heart. So Mars is saying, so to your brother's thing, he's fighting for the kids to be able to pursue their heart's path. And he also understands, because he's a coach, he understands when he was a kid, the power and the role of athletic competition and fair play and, you know, fighting for the team. So he wants to teach those platitudes and those attributes and those skills to the kids. And a lot of people that have sport backgrounds are natural leaders because they usually have a strong Mars Pluto. My sister was a basketball coach for 30 years and she would send me kids' charts and they always had Mars Pluto. So they loved to fight for what they believed in or for their team. And so it's understanding that him fighting to get the kids a chance to learn fair play, leadership, teamwork, accomplishment, competition, the vision, the goal, all that, super important to developing young people, right?
And so, he's recognizing that using hate to fuel a fight for love doesn't work. It creates a poison that, and then it creates that clash thing that doesn't work, right? So he's encouraging the parents, which it's hard because these parents are watching their kids like decay. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, they're all practicing and doing the things, but that, you know, they're really starting to feel the depression, like you brought up before, the depression, the sadness, the hopelessness that, you know, that their dreams are just dashed. And when you're a teenager or you're this is your dream. You've been working hard. So interesting, all this stuff. Okay. So basically this week,
the other thing I want to add to the water analogy, just last week, I think it was, you had that famous surfer on the beach and he was watching a woman who got caught in the tide. And he said to his girlfriend, "Hold my beer." And he leapt over the fence and he ran out and he swam out and got her. And then his sister, who's also a famous surfer, was helping him get her back to shore by pointing him where the water was better. And so the other part of this is look for the helpers. Mm. Like if you're in the water and you're struggling, that image of him going, "Here, hold my beer, I'll be back. I got to go save somebody." Mars in Taurus is very brave because it's brave with its skill set. It's brave with what it knows how to do. So your brother, who knows how to lead a war, because he leads children into war every day when they fight with the other team, he knows strategy is important, not just knock them down like the parents want to do because you're hurting my kid. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, folks, we need to be strategic here in our vision of how we do this.
Yes.
So that's the other thing. And look for the support. Look for the person who actually knows how to dive in the water and save you, because they're there. They're there. The sky is very supportive of that. So if Astrology Hub is your dive in the water, we help save you, great. If it's you're talking to someone and they're whatever, you dive in the water and help them. If you have a depressed friend, you call and you check on them. You dive in the water and you help them. Yes, because we're all in this very nicely little bundled bunch of energy, encouraging us to be collaborative and work together in a strategic way to get what we want.
Mm. Very good. Okay. So this is a week that we will need to bring out our tools for intensity. You mentioned doubling down on our self-care, reaching out to other people. We have an out of bounds new moon, which will make it even more emotional, this is a time where it's working on deeper levels. We can go back and think of what we've worked on all year, the year of 2020. Those things may be like a remnant energy. And so remember the lessons that you learned, remember the things that that changed within you, and make sure you're still exercising those things and those lessons, and just don't forget, right? Because this is a remnant energy of all of it.
It's a very big remnant, and it does feel very, you know, like that kind of gnawing. It's got a gnawing quality to it, because Mars is like nudging it. You know, it wants to provoke it. I want to provoke you. And so you want to kind of go, "Oh, Mars, you're trying to provoke me, huh?" And he's like, "Yeah, I am."
So where are we provoked? Mm. And where can we recognize that we're being provoked? That doesn't necessarily mean it's something we need to react to. We need to step back and think about the strategy and how we actually can approach this with wisdom.
Right.
Okay.
So I come in carrying a $130,000 contract and I get fired the next day. I'm like, wow, man, this wasn't, you know, that was the moment of clarity.
Right.
So it's understanding you may have a moment of clarity. You might be provoked, come in with your trophy and then go, tricked ya, firing your ass anyway.
That's so tricky. So is there a tricky element of what's happening here? Because you've been talking about, Uranus.
And Mars is coming to square Mercury.
Ah.
Right? Mercury's in Aquarius. So Mars and Mercury are talking to each. Mars is squaring Jupiter, coming to meet Uranus, and Mercury's in Aquarius going, he's got, Mercury's the trickster. He's not always nice. Yeah.
That's so deceitful. What happened to you? So, I mean, so, and.
Oh, no,
and,
but that's Pluto.
Right.
That's
right.
The energy, what we're having. It's like, I set you up. Oh, you know, Charlie Brown, you know, kicking the football and Lucy always pulling it away. You know, you're going to see a pattern. You're going to see something that you look at and you go, God, they're doing it to me again. And it's like, yeah, why are you biting? Why are you biting? You're not going to win. I mean, you won, but you lost. So what's it about, man? You know, it's that the buzzer, you know, they travel and they shoot the ball and the buzzer gets called and they win the game, but they didn't call the traveling. And you're like, hey, do I protest not calling the traveling? Or what do I do about it? You just lost the championship because traveling wasn't called. What do you do?
So, Anne, this is a setup for transformation, though, mm-hmm. right? Like the Pluto is it's not, again, it's not for us to be deceived and tricked just for fun. There could be a for fun element for someone.
Well, it's malice. Pluto is malicious. He's not
right.
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 Right. But if we're not going to bite, then it's how do we use it to transform? How do we use it for change?
Mm-hmm. Okay. How are we transformed by the experience?
How are we transformed by the experience? Right.
Because we are, when we have that obsessive thing and we escape the obsession, when that woman escaped the ocean trying to kill her, you know, you have a changed look. You look at things differently, you know. I'm going to be curious now that all these elected officials spent hours locked up under their desks, if they're going to do something about shooting in schools where teachers teach kids to, you know, lock down. I'll be curious now they've gone through it. How does it change them? Because you have the experience. So we're all going to have experiences that change us. Mm. We've been having them. They change us forever. What do we do with it now that we've been changed? What did we learn? What's that space?
So good. Okay. Reminder to check on anybody in your life that you feel is prone to depression, anyone who's been sad, hopeless. Just know that could be at an all-time high right now. So important to reach out and be that helper, be the guy with the on the beach with the
hold my beer.
Gotta go.
If you actually know what to do, like I would not dive in the waves,
exactly.
But I would cheer from the shore.
Right,
know?
Right.
But he knew what to do, you know, so he knew how to dive in and get her out, right?
Well, in this community, on some level, knows what to do because you have the cosmic awareness of what's happening and you know what the invitation is and you know how to speak to people from a higher perspective of what's actually going on here, and you know that they might just need a hug right now. They just might need to be held. Okay, so look at where Mars is in your chart.
Yep.
And look at your Scorpio and Taurus houses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's where Mars wants to take action.
So look at your Mars. What
Scorpio and Aries. Scorpio and Aries houses. Yeah.
Scorpio and Aries. I'm sorry. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So look at your Mars. What is your, where is the way that you like to take action, that your Mars wants you to take action? And then look at the houses to see what areas of your life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Going to be very, that's where he exerts his power in the Aries house and the Scorpio. And remember, if you have a house that's, you know, like 10 Aries, it's 10 degrees of the house before, and then 20 degrees of the house that it's ruling. So, you know, so it's two houses that he's saying, okay, I'm going to take action here. And literally Mars is, in your brother's case, Mars is coming up to join Uranus, which is the collective, the team. So he's trying to harness the team, the parents, the kids, to get change so that he can help them begin. And remember, when Mars meets Uranus on the 20th, starts a new 2-year cycle, because Mars takes 2 years to go around the circle. So he's initiating a cycle, and it's saying, okay, we're beginning. And then the new moon initiates a new 2.5-year cycle. So we've got these two initiation energies here that are saying, we're initiating the energy of this cycle for you to take action with. Because remember, Uranus co-rules Saturn and Jupiter, both in Aquarius. So this is an important fight for him. So he wants to watch what comes in over these next few days and really teach the strategy to the parents. Because trust me, a parent for their kid, they can be strategic and teach them how to work that energy in a positive way,
right,
to organize the group, the collective, the community to take action.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's good.
Yeah. It's really cool to see support coming from like real big places, really famous people coming in to support the whole thing too. It's really cool. All right. This idea of whiplash. So this energy of whiplash, and you, again, it goes to the ocean thing too. It's the same analogy in some ways. When we tense up, when we brace ourselves, we get more hurt. So this, how do I relax? What are your tools for relaxing? I mean, maybe that means turning off the TV for a little bit of time. Maybe that means going out into nature. Maybe that means working with your breath. Maybe that means taking a bath. Maybe it's taking a walk, whatever. But these things, anything that you can do. One of the things, have sex. There you go. Thank you. One of the things, Kira Sutherland.
Of course, lights and sex, you know.
Perfect. Awesome. Yeah. Have some fun. Kira Sutherland, who is a medical astrologer who is one of our inner circle guides, was on the 2021 panel. She was talking about the importance of our nervous system this year and learning how to actually have mastery over your own nervous system. So when you feel yourself getting all, you know, spiraling out and getting tense and getting afraid, starting to work with the different tools and practices that help you actually disengage that hyper tension that you're feeling. And it takes practice. Like we actually have to be committed to learning how to do these things, because we're definitely not taught that usually. But things like yoga, things, you know, there are practices that can help to help us get mastery over that.
Mm-hmm. I like to recommend Donna Eden. She's got a lot of videos on the internet. And basically, that's a Uranus transit you're talking about. So when you have Uranus, it's the electrical system in the body. And it goes like this. And so what your energy flutters. And she does a whole series of techniques to ground your energy. And when you're having a Uranus transit, when people have one, I'm like, hey, what Uranus does is rewiring your electrical system, which is great, except it drains your minerals, it drains your nutrients, because you're like this, you're running high. You bruise more easily, your vitamin C levels go down because you're like, eh. So she has a number of breath techniques and, you know, integrating your, you know, going like this and kind of integrating your parts and working with your vagus nerve, running it down to your abdomen. Because it comes, I'm done in a while, but you come up and come down and go down here. So there, you know, it's physical body techniques you can use to ground yourself. Yoga totally helps, but sometimes, you know, like actually going into your energetic system and really like listening to your body and saying, where am I energetically off? Where am I out of kilter? And usually it's going to be a planet in your chart that's a little crabby. And you'll feel like I'm off on my left side, you know, like if you can do that level of body work. She's really good. She's got a curly blonde hair and she teaches energy techniques for grounding. And of course, breathing techniques. Go do Botenko's breathing techniques. He teaches you how to breathe, because when we oxygenate, we calm down. Right. And most people don't breathe right, which is why yoga is so helpful, because yoga teaches you how to breathe. So, you know, that, you know, just breathing, you know, sometimes is a good, but totally Uranus is like this. And then you have to go, okay, let me calm it down. And I mean, like in my case, I'm very amped up I'm having a Uranus transit. So I'm all excited. And then I go, okay, again.
Donna Eden. And who was the other person?
Botenko, Boytenko. He's a Russian guy. He does sleep apnea. He does breathing techniques.
Okay. Boytenko.
Boytenko. He teaches, or Boysenko, Boys. Is a Russian name. If you Google it, it'll go, do you mean this? And then he gives you breathing techniques.
Okay.
And, you know, or just, you know, just if you do breath work with your yoga practice, you know, that whole nose thing where you do.
Yes.
It works, you know? Yeah.
Right. Well, and I've found yoga is kind of like astrology. Not all yoga instructors and not all yoga classes are created equal.
Yes.
And so sometimes it's just about, like, you know, looking good in your jeans, but the real yoga that is actually,
it's a good thing too.
It's a good thing.
That makes Mars want to have sex with you. I mean, it's good.
And a lot of times that's what gets people into it. And then yeah. They go, oh, wow, this is much deeper. Just like astrology. A lot of people get into it because they want to figure out what's going on with their relationship or whatever. And they're like, oh, wow, there's a lot more to this. So, okay.
Always more to everything. Remember, it's like yeah. A giant, you know, when you delve in, there's more there.
Yeah. Always more to everything. All right. So this idea of whiplash, relaxing, learning how to fall, you know, all this has to do with having mastery over our own, like, tensing up and reacting. Look, okay, we already talked about that. Oh, this is a time to work hard to plow your own field. So what does that mean? Plow your own field. Literally, I just cleared two spaces for two more garden beds yesterday.
Yay!
Plowing our own fields.
Amanda's taking the Mars and Taurus literally. I like
yes.
That. Plowing our fields. Okay.
Okay. This is a time that everything's reporting to Saturn and Aquarius. So Saturn is the ultimate decision-making here. This is a whole new story that we're embarking upon. There are consequences to our actions. So again, being mindful about our actions, that could be good. The consequences could be good. It doesn't always mean that they're bad.
Okay, but, good.
Yeah.
No, consequences are, you know, like you plowed the field. So then I'm going to say, so Amanda, when are you going to plant it? No, I'm not going to plant it until next fall. I'm like, all right, and you're not going to have any vegetables. You say, I'm going to plant next week. You go, right. Okay, you're going to have vegetables in 6 weeks. You're like, yeah. You know, yes. We plow the field, we plant the seeds, and then we result in things. Remember, Saturn always keeps track of what we accomplish through the work we do.
Yes.
Good, bad, or indifferent. You know, he's not judging. He's saying, you picked your Saturn, you picked your work in this lifetime, so do your work.
Mm-hmm. There's consequences to our actions. Be thinking about, what about the community? What about the children? So putting actions.
Aquarius is the sign of children, you know, other people.
Aquarius is the sign of other people's children. I've never heard that before.
The 11th house is the house of groups. And so the 11th house is coaches and teachers. And oftentimes coaches and teachers have planets in the 11th house because they work with groups. And the 11th, you know, the 5th house is children. The 11th house opposite it is the house of other people's children. Hmm. So we're working on what the children say. The children think. Mm. And how do we talk to the children about what's going on in the world? Mm. Important, right? And how do we help the children? So the parents are really going, hey, you know, it's not just about me, it's about my children. And we all are saying, hey, what are the kids learning? You know, what are the little eyes and ears? And you know, those little people pay attention, man. Maybe not miss a trick.
They're not missing anything. And they're interpreting it. They're making conclusions about it. It's really fascinating to ask them. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really fascinating. And of course, if they feel safe to respond honestly, but yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what is your contribution to the world? So what about the community? What about how can you use your unique skills, your unique gifts to contribute? Pluto is about going deeper. So this is a heavy Pluto moment. So going deeper, what's on the surface? I see what's on the surface, but what's actually underneath that? And being willing to look at the rot, being willing to look at the dark places, because that is the first step towards actually transforming it. If we won't look at it, if we won't acknowledge it, it's not going to change. So where is that happening in your life? And where is that happening in the world? Where is that happening around you? And where can, instead of going, oh God, I don't want to see it. It's so dark, it's so ugly. It's like, okay, well, what if I just look at it? And what if I bring my awareness to it? And what if I start to use my energy to contribute to a transformation of that thing?
And to model Pele, and say, rather than destructive anger, how do I channel it through my heart? Mars is in Taurus answering to Venus, right? And say, let me channel it through the heart. And Amanda, Saturn's in Aquarius. So you're, you know, you're now offering or going to be offering astrology for children.
Yes.
There you
that
go.
Is it. Yeah, that is well, definitely.
That's why, because you're like, I've been doing it for the Capricorn. I've been doing it for the grownups. Now let me do it for the children. Mm-hmm. So you see how it's bringing that in. Yeah. It's like you have to help the kids.
Right. And trusting that impulse in you that you're also being guided to the next place that your contribution is needed. Mm-hmm. So that part that, and again, I said this last week, the enthusiasm, where is your enthusiasm? So where is your there's anger filled, hate filled. Well, anger isn't always bad, but hate filled action. And then that's very distinct and different from something that you feel enthusiasm about. Enthusiasm feels different than obsession and hatred. It feels different. So being able to differentiate between that within yourself and follow that enthusiasm, which many of the astrologers have been saying for 2021, follow that, go deeper on the things that you're feeling passionately inspired to learn, go and do those things. Now, this is the time to actually be learning, follow those passions and be open to where that's going to lead you. Right. Okay. The Pluto is also inviting us to really evaluate what is of value to us. So what do you really value? What qualities, what is the most important? What is the most important to you? And then look at the places that are blocking you from that. So that's the darkness, you know, the part that, is telling you, oh, but you're not good at that. Oh, you're not good enough at that. Oh, you'll never be successful at that. You know, that Pluto walking beside you being like, you think you are, but you're not. And so what's that showing about you and where you can fortify yourself even more?
Mm-hmm. Or you can go, all right, what are you going to teach me?
Right. Yes. Fine. I'm not as good as I thought.
Stuff.
Show me how I can get better. Yeah.
Tell me how I can get better at it. Yeah.
That's also working with Saturn.
Yes. Well, that's sad. Remember, Saturn and Pluto said to you, we're going to work with you in a new way for the next 38 years. Mm. We're going to work with you to build new structures that actually support you in a different way than what you've built so far has. We're changing the structures. So you ready? And we all go, change is good. I love change. Do you want to change? No, I don't want to change. They need to change. No, everybody's changing. Yeah. So we know we're changing. And then it's like, all right, you know, leaning into it somehow in a relaxed way so you don't get whiplash, understanding you're energetically wired, you are, so just helping calm it down, understanding everybody else is energetically wired, you know, to the extent you can. And again, sometimes you have to distance. You can't reach out. If you can't reach out because you're too overwhelmed, that's okay. That is self-care. And reminding everybody, these are temporary transits that are inviting us to grow and follow our passions in a healthy way. Because Pluto is all or nothing, you know? So back when my aunt was a nun for a while, and then she married Uncle Lou. And I was studying her chart with my astrology teacher, and she had Pluto in the fifth. And he said to me, your uncle's a happy man. And I went, what? And he goes, your aunt has Pluto in the fifth. And I was like, oh, okay. House of pleasures, happy guy, right? So Pluto's good too. He's where we're passionate about stuff, you know? So he's not a bad guy. He's just what you're passionate about. So honoring the passion too is really important. Honoring what you believe in and understanding he's got a positive thing because he makes us very intense and passionate about stuff too. So he's not a bad guy. You know, I want to kind of not make him be just the mean guy because, you know, we all have him somewhere in our chart.
Well, and I always think of it as it's not mean. It's a very catalyst, you know, it's the thing that we sometimes need to change that we're not going to do it. Like we said last week, I think Rick said, we don't change because everything's wonderful. You know, we change because we look at it, we go, oh, that's not so great. Like, let's actually change. So that in that way, it is great.
Mm-hmm. And if there wasn't Pele, there wouldn't be Hawaii.
Exactly.
Right. It's they have so to have true. A volcano that transforms everything, that creates the land that now is beautiful Hawaii. Right.
So exactly.
We understand it as this deep energy of change and transformation, but it also is on the other side of it. You go, wow, okay, next. What's next?
Yeah. Well, the change and the transformation creates new land. It creates new place for us to explore and discover. So yeah. that's exactly what Pele does. The volcano creates the land that we live on, and it destroyed everything in its path to get to do that. So, yeah.
So you don't want everything in your path destroyed. So we don't want to leave them on a hard note. But you understand you're undergoing these changes because it's saying we have this new chapter beginning. We have to do this next step.
Yes. And I always think it's only destroying the things that are ready to go. And the things that are true and lasting will remain. So, all right. Also, this strategy and helpers. So, be strategic about the action that you're taking, and also call in help. And whether or not that's physical human help or spiritual help, you know, wherever you go to get the support that you need, this is a good time to reach out if you feel like you need that. All right. So here we go, you guys.
1 week ahead, folks. Next 2 weeks.
One more question. Rick had said that this is almost like a little microcosm and the stage is being set for the rest of 2021 right now. Like the events of January, everything that's happening in January is setting the stage for the rest of the year. Would you agree with that?
I would totally agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Because Mars is coming to square Jupiter, and then Saturn and Mars is coming to square, hit Jupiter and then square Uranus, join Uranus. And then we're going to have Saturn square Uranus three times.
Right.
So we have the setup now. This is the setup. Yeah. It's actually the setup for the next 2 years, but this year particularly. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So being mindful, how are we responding to it all?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And all we can do, look at the energy. How do I want to work with that?
Exactly. Exactly. What else can we do? It really is truly the only thing that we can do is, yeah. Okay.
That's it.
Anne, thank you so much for being here, for doing the weekly weather with us every week. It's such a gift for all of us. If you're interested in getting more insights into 2021 and the different things that we're going to be working with, like I mentioned, Kiera Sutherland talking about the nervous system, we do have the free 2021 guidebook available for you. So you go to astrologyhub.com. At the top, you can enter in your name and your email address. We'll send that to you. And it has lots of great, like, tangible tips, practical tips for working with the energies of 2021. Highly recommend you check that out.
Remember, everybody, deep breaths.
Yep.
And this week we have the new moon in Capricorn, so do your new moon ritual. You do that tomorrow, right, for the inner circle.
That'll be on Wednesday. I can't wait. I have, like, so many ideas and so much inspiration coming in for that ceremony for Wednesday for inner circle members. But, yes, do whatever you do for new moon. This is a potent one to really do your ritual.
If you don't do any new moons the whole year, do this one. This is a big one. This is a big one.
Wow. Awesome.
You're harnessing deep energy with this, deep creative energy.
And it really can be simple. Light a candle. Like, sit in silence for 20 minutes. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a big, huge thing. Just, you know, make it your own. And it can be very simple.
It can be a prayer. But just say, okay, I'm going to focus. I've been thinking about this year that I had. I'm thinking about what I want to do with what I learned. And now I'm going to go forward and I'm going to do this. That's really all you need to do. The rest of it is wrapping. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And thank you. And thanks to all of you for being here. Thank you for being a part of our community. And thank you, as always, for making astrology a part of your life. We'll catch you on the next episode.